Kevin?
I think so. Some of this gets at where we're at right now. This is a pretty emotional discussion for this community to have. It's a big emotional component to it. And I appreciate the fact that you acknowledged earlier that some of the timelines may be a little tight to be able to have these conversations with all of our stakeholders in the community as a whole. I'm curious about how you are proposing to continue having the dialogue with your stakeholders and the community, and how that would include the community as a whole, the assembly, because I think it's a dialogue that needs to continue to happen in a larger sense, and would just like to hear about how you're feeling about where that goes from here.
Yeah, so thanks, Mr. Knox. I can hopefully safely display my ignorance with regards to how the assembly works. I'm not really sure. I feel like there's several moving components in this conversation, just trying to put my thoughts together here. I guess my expectation, my thinking about it is, we have this meeting today, and you guys have a regular assembly meeting, and maybe you'll talk about this. And it might be as simply as saying, wow, that presentation from Search, that was a waste of an evening. That doesn't seem like it was a worthwhile endeavor, and we should just thank them for the time, and we'll all go home and we'll move on. I think that would be the end of the conversation. I have no clue if that's where the assembly's at or not. I think probably, hopefully that there are things in this proposal that intrigue assembly members, and they would want to talk about it some more. But there are also some issues relating to the timeliness of Sitka Community Hospital's corollary presentation that is coming in July. My thinking about it, Mr. Knox, is that we owe it to, I don't know if I particularly owe it to anybody, but it seems like we owe it to the constituency, the community of Sitka, to hear what Sitka Community Hospital is thinking with regards to where they see a potential future collaboration or independence. I'm not really sure what they're working on. I haven't received any questions or input or feedback from them, and I think that's totally fine. But I think some indication on where the assembly wants to go is a must for Search to continue. I think hopefully everybody could appreciate and understand the amount of effort we've put into accommodating the requests. We've had a year of conversations, and we've put proposals together. We've made time commitments. We make staff available. And the idea, I think we've committed, if we want to do something, that we would have community town hall meetings. I've committed to certain constituencies that I would go before them and discuss with them their concerns and their thoughts and their ideas and their aspirations for the future of Search. And I'm committed to that. But I don't necessarily see the point in doing that if we're not going to do anything. And my hope and my sense is by August 1st, the assembly would say, we're pretty serious about trying to do some sort of level of collaboration at the assembly level, or we're not. And I think that really is your prerogative. I think, as you had pointed out, I can tell you it does, and I've talked about it so much, maybe it seems like I'm not emotional about this, but this is an emotional conversation. It's very complex politically. But I do believe as community leaders, that's really our job, is to sort of navigate some of this. And because when I run the numbers, when I read the ECG report, when I look at our proposal, I think the facts and the figures and the realities are very clear. It's the emotions that are complex. That doesn't discount the value of the emotional component. But if I do think that, by August 1st, we need to commit to, a town hall meeting or not a town hall meeting. I need to commit to various stakeholders within the community of Sitka about meeting with them. Because if we're not going to do anything, It doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to do a lot of these meetings because they're emotionally very, very difficult, and they're worthwhile, but if it's not going to produce any particular movement forward, I'm not sure why we'd do that. So my anticipation would be that we try to collectively decide how serious we are about this by August 1st or before. That would be my hope, just because we have some big moving parts at Search about where, what, you know, the various things we're going to do. If the Assembly has the desire or the latitude or the whatever to move sooner, that's fine too, but I think we just have to take into account those commitments that we've already made. Is that helpful at all?
One thing that has been talked about but doesn't really show up in the proposal was retirement liability. It basically said the state's looking at that right now. Do we have even a ballpark? Because that sounds like that'll be a city responsibility. And I'm really trying to look at this as an economic proposal. Do we have any idea where that may fall?
Other than speculation, Mr. Petruski, no. I mean, I think, I heard today that the state feels like it needs one more month to finish their analysis. And I don't know the number off the top of my head, and there's a couple gentlemen behind me that I could probably look to, and they could tell, you know, the number, the outside number is the number that's on the audit, right? There's a number in the audit that says this is the unfunded liability. That's your audit. I'm not that familiar with your audit, but I think in our conversations with the state and our financial advisors is that is the outside number because it assumes the worst case scenario, right? It assumes that everybody's going to work to a certain age. It assumes that there's a full liability for all the employees. And so I think our expectation is that the number that the state is going to prepare will be substantially smaller than the number that's in your audit, which should be a relief to the city, whatever, without regard to where we go. Let me look at John here.
Actuaries have looked at that, and now the state's looking at that for this type of transaction. So you have a couple things going into that. One is the interest rate for the investments in there. As interest rates go up, the liability goes down. If interest rates go down, the liability goes up. There also is in the other, on your balance sheet, a pension asset of $3.5 million. Relates to what's been paid. So we are asking the state about, does that get offset and where does it go? So it's still up in the air at this point in time.
So just a follow-up on that. That changes from year to year then?
Yes.
So whatever the state comes forward next month and says, this is your liability, next year that could be a totally different number?
Assets that are in the plan, and then they make an estimate depending upon the interest assumption as to what can be earned on those assets. So you will see it go up or down. And part of that depends on the U.S. economy and the interest rate earnings, etc.
So would we be responsible for that payment every year until all those employees have passed out of the system, or?
Okay. Payment, and generally what happens, it gets frozen at the time of the transaction. So those people would be going, assume there is a transaction, and those people go to Search, and then they start on that program. The old pension plan is generally frozen.
And this is sometimes referred to as a termination study, is that right?
Yes, for like if.
So if the city cuts a position, we have to pay a termination study on that position if it's a PERS position. Because as soon as the position's gone, that employee still has a pension liability. and we'd have to pay off that liability, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure the detail of how that transaction works each time, but the liability is there, and ultimately, if that person leaves, it stays there. You may have to pay it over time, or you may have to pay it all at once. The theory here is that you've paid in enough as you go that it'll be taken care of.
Okay. And that's a liability we currently have with the hospital. Regardless, this is just part of the deal. Though, if the city, if the hospital workers transition to be Search employees, they're no longer Alaska PERS employees, and that liability that you mentioned would continue to rest with the city. Technically, they're city employees through the hospital, and that's about 60% of our workforce, I think. So, okay.
That's an important number for me. So whenever we can get that number, that would be really helpful.
Sounds like it'll come within a month, so that will be helpful. Well, Mr. Clement, you said it very well that, or I think Kevin started this, discussing the emotions involved. And as I look at these proposals and I look at the community hospital budget and I look at our past trends and city support, I am really conflicted between my emotional response, not liking change, having grown up at community hospital, sitting at the nurse's station while my dad did dictations or in the doctor's lounge watching TV, which was always a treat while he had to go round on a patient or something. I know the operating suite's named after Kevin's father, who worked there for a long time. This is a community that we love our hospital. It's great. It's taking care of us. My brother and sister were born there. I was born at the Mount Edgecombe Public Health Service Hospital. My father was in the Public Health Service when I was born here. It is scary to think about change. As an employee at Mount Edgecombe High School, we had a proposal put before the legislature to turn Mount Edgecombe High School over to another entity and have them manage it, and all of us had our jobs in question. I have a small inkling of that uncertainty and that terrible emotional feeling that comes when you're working in a job that you love and you don't know what's going to happen. Are you going to be able to continue to work in that facility the way it is? And what is change going to bring? So I wish there was some way to mitigate that for staff members at community. But to all of you who are working there, thank you so much for continuing to work there and do great work. Having said all that, I'm scared for the future of our hospital as an independent entity. Say this proposal is not before us. Just looking at the complete uncertainty in the federal actions, which seem to be even more frenetic than ever now. It's just completely wild. We have no idea what's going to come. And the proposed $800 billion cut to Medicaid, that could be $1 million or more in Sitka. I have no idea what that would be. You look at the Affordable Care Act going away. Well, there goes our charity care goes through the roof again. And our city is we're not going to be able to bail everybody out when they keep coming to us. And you've provided me with something that guarantees everybody has a job, guarantees that people can continue to see the providers they have now in Sitka, and I thank you for that. We have a long process to go through here as a community to figure out what we're going to do. We have to have our assembly meetings to debate this, but thank you for bringing this forward and for understanding the emotions involved in these decisions. This is not fun at all. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Hunter, or Mayor Hunter. I certainly appreciate the emotional weight of the conversation, and I think it would be a disservice to the process to discount it. I fully appreciate that. I think, you know, again, as Mr. Knox pointed out, you know, for me, the facts speak pretty clearly, But sometimes there's more that goes into some of these things. You know, I do feel really strongly that the only way that this moves forward is if we move forward together. That, you know, it is not really a debate, it's not really a takeover, it's not really an acquisition, but it really has to be some form of partnership. And again, I think we are a long ways from that. But as we dig through the facts that, you know, 70% of Sitkins already come to Mount Edgecombe Hospital for something, that we have 500 employees in this community that are employees of search, you know, as we start to wade through them and they sink in, you know, and acknowledging it through conversation and through consultation with our constituencies, that I think we all want what's best for this entire community. And if we can't get to that in some way, shape, or form, we have to be okay with walking away from the work that's already been done. And I think I have emotionally arrived at that place. I see the facts. I understand the emotions. They're on both sides of the equation, on both sides of the table. But at the end of the day, I do honestly feel that if we can't figure out a way to constructively move forward, this is not going to be successful. And, you know, I have to qualify that a little bit, that, you know, as I don't know if it was Dr. Vasola said, you know, we're never going to make everybody happy. But understanding that the vocal minority don't outweigh the silent majority, and I think whatever the process we go through, sort of understanding that and figuring it out, what are the legitimate concerns and what are these perpetual just things that are thrown out there as red herrings that, you know, I think at some of these meetings we've said three or four times now that are unequivocally not true. I mean, at some point, you know, can you restate that? Well, it's been stated for the record four or five times, you know. And so, again, it is my commitment to try to figure out a way to talk through this thing, not in aggressive fashion, not in the sense of a takeover or an outright acquisition, even though we're coming together and it's a transaction. But I do believe with all my heart, the only way that this makes sense is if we could find as a community a way that this feels good for most people. So, again, thank you for your time. I know this is not an assembly meeting, and it's a special meeting you've held for us, and I appreciate you making the time. And it really is a pleasure to talk with you about this. It really is pretty exciting.
Thank you very much. Any last questions or comments? Stephen, then Bob.
Yeah, so I did have one last question here, and hopefully we can work through this. So your proposal, it may or may not be good. I see it for what it is, and I see the proposal, but I don't know, compared to any other proposals, if it's a good proposal, because we haven't seen any. In the letter of intent, which was signed last year, there is a clause, an exclusive dealing until termination date, that prevents any other entity from coming in and making an offer, as you've just done. Are you comfortable enough with your offer that you would be willing to cancel that part of our letter of intent, or to cancel the letter of intent entirely and allow someone else to come in potentially and offer? I don't know if there is even the viability of it, but to have someone else take a look at this and also present to the community of Sitka an offer.
I do believe that the letter of intent is cancelable by either party.
That is true, but would you be willing to cancel that part because you're comfortable enough with your offer?
I guess I would say that if you would like to cancel the letter of intent, it is wholly within your prerogative to do so. And I guess for me, I think the answer is I'm not sure I have an opinion, because it is within your prerogative to do so. What I would say is that we've entered into good faith over a year ago with the Sitka Community Hospital and then directly with the Assembly. And I would hope that good faith has been maintained all along. And if for some reason that the Assembly feels like we have not dealt in good faith in some way or another, it is totally within your prerogative and within my understanding for you to cancel the letter of intent. But I think it would violate really what we've tried to do here, which is come together collaboratively to work through these issues together. That being said, you know, I mean, it's up to you to do what you feel is best for your community, and I completely understand.
I guess I'd like to address that a little bit. If that were to happen and someone were to come in and somebody else would purchase SCH, we still have the same duplication of services that are going on now. We still have the same inefficiencies, all those things. So that's one part of the answer. The second is here's our neighbors. These are the folks that have been doing good work and good business in Sitka for 45 years. They're invested in this community. They're us. So, you know, I guess I appreciate the levelness of your answer, Chuck, but I'd be a little offended if that were to come up. I think you've done a fair evaluation, but this is Sitka, and you're part of Sitka. And I guess going to ask someone down the street, you know, their opinion, I'm not comfortable with that. You know, I'd like to see what you guys have, and I find your offer extraordinarily exciting. Change is very, very difficult, but it also opens up opportunities that we can't even imagine. So I guess that's where I am with that.
Anybody else have last questions or comments? Thank you very much for your presentation tonight. And I don't know when we'll talk about it at the assembly, but it will be advertised, and we'll be sure you know. So,
okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you.